Joining us on the hotline right now from Pro Basketball Talk, he's Kurt Helin. Hey, Kurt, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing, man?
Dude, it's always cool to be able to talk to you in August.
Yeah, there's a little less going on, but it's still fun to talk, man.
All right, so we just heard from Carmelo Anthony, who said that he has no idea if his relationship with Mike D'Antoni will be better this time, and that he has no idea what his role will be because he just signed. Please tell me that this is not going to be an abject disaster.
I don't think so. You never quite know, but I think that Melo is at the point in his career and with a team with Chris Paul and James Harden, where he's got to realize he's finally, I think, going to understand what his role will be on this team. And I think he'll come. Is it possible they start him at the first and third and then roll him out heavily with the second unit, play him for 4 minutes, then get him back out with the second unit type of thing? Yeah, it's possible, just to keep the egos in check and everybody happy. But, I mean, ultimately, that's got to be his role with the team, right? When Chris Paul and James Harden are out there, you do not want Melo being the shot creator. He's just not as good or not as efficient at it as those two guys at this point in his career. But if you roll him out with the second unit and kind of give him the ball a lot and let him go, it'll kind of work. He can space the floor. He can still punish switches in certain situations. Like, I don't think it's going to be an abject disaster. I don't think the Rockets are taking – there's a lot of people who think they're taking some sort of big step back. I don't see it that way at all. I think it's going to be a relatively small step back. Losing Ariza and Mbamute hurts when you play Boston and Golden State, but I don't know that it really impacts them against many other teams.
Now, Kurt, he wanted out of New York. I don't blame him for wanting out of New York. I don't know why he signed the big deal with New York to begin with. He knew they were never going to be competitive. But, when he realized I'm not going to get traded to Houston. I'll take a trade to Oklahoma City. So he gets traded to Oklahoma City. It's right before camp starts. You're playing with Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Steven Adams, and you've got a much better team than probably anything that you've had in the last 5 years in New York. And then he goes on to post his worst season ever. Is that a massive red flag?
Yeah, it should be. He's just at the point in his career with his style of game where the efficiency is going to drop. He's just not going to be able to create the same space. The athleticism slips a little bit. And, you can make up for that for a while with your intelligence or for a long while if you're like LeBron James and kind of a freak of nature. But in general, he's at that point where his role is going to shrink. It's just not everybody accepts that that's the role really quickly. Some guys kind of, Manu Ginobili accepted a role when he didn't have to. He could have pushed for more time. Other guys like Carmelo are a little slower to get there. We'll see this season if that's there. And like you said, I really think that Carmelo and Mike D'Antoni, long before about this, by the way, had sat down and talked and hashed through their relationship, and they're all kind of good until there's stress on the relationship, and then we'll see what happens. It's easy for everything to be good when everything's going well or you're not even coaching, but he's on a different team. It's going to be something else when Carmelo's unhappy with something or the coach is unhappy with something. Then we'll see what that relationship really is.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was just going to ask you. There's a little bit of, like the old man in the sea here with Daryl Morey and Carmelo Anthony. Like, this is the fish Morey's been chasing for years and he's never been able to catch him. Well, now he's finally caught him. But by the time he gets him to the regular season, there's going to be nothing left because he's not going to be able to do anything for this team.
Exactly.
So the question is, I know that it's a one-year deal. It's vet minimum. It's $2.4 million. It's as little money as they could possibly give him. Are they going to have the fortitude to part ways with Carmelo if it doesn't work, or do you think Daryl Morey will try to force it on D'Antoni for the whole year?
That's a good question. I would think that they are so close, and guys like Chris Paul want this so badly right now that they would be willing to move on, but it's easier said than done. It's Carmelo for, whatever we think of his game, and again, I don't think it's as regressed as some, at least offensively. he's incredibly popular with players. He is popular in the locker room. He's seen as an icon, understandably. I mean, he's if you're talking about the game's great bucket getters, Carmelo Anthony at his peak is up there. I mean, Carmelo Anthony can flat out go get you baskets and still can to a degree. And he's beloved by players. He's popular. So I'm not sure how that plays in the locker room. I got a feeling, though, with where Harden and Chris Paul are at, that they put the business decision first, but we'll see.
So I'm with Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, with us on the hotline. Kurt, Dwight Howard's trainer apparently said that Dwight wants to evolve into an Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant type of player. Who's more out of touch here, Dwight or his trainer?
He's never going to be quite those guys. I think it gets overstated, but I think if you read the in the Washington Post today, what Dwight himself said, he's like, look, when I came into the league, I was banging with Shaq and all these big, strong bodies down in the post, and if you were my size, you had to get stronger and you had to be it was about muscle and strength. The college game is even still there a little bit. The NBA game is not. The NBA game, if you look at the trends right now, there's more 6'9 guys on the floor than ever, but they're thin and they're fast and they're athletic and everybody's getting up and down, and that he's got to evolve his game more that way. Anthony Davis and Kevin Garnett are great models. He is never going to have that shot. He is never going to have that kind of touch. I don't know that he's ever going to work off the ball completely as well as that. But, if that's the model you're trying to go for, it sounds good on paper. But the other part of that is, Patrick, every summer, don't we say, yeah, Dwight's saying all the right things. He's losing some weight. He's reduced his body fat. He's ready to run more. And then he gets in the season and he wants the ball in the post 25 times a game. So we'll see. Like, I'm done buying into everything until I see it on the court.
Yeah, it's funny because you talk about, Dwight Howard, a guy who's just not as good as he used to be, but he thinks he's as good as he used to be. And it's, hey, my ego is huge. Now feed my ego. It's like, now Carmelo Anthony is not as good as he used to be, but maybe he thinks he's as good as he used to be. Oh, yeah. Man, I see so many similarities between Melo and Dwight. And you're right, Dwight is every year. Dwight's going to, lose weight. Dwight's going to get more limber. Dwight's going to, get faster. Dwight's going to be more athletic. And then Dwight gets in the post and he puts his hand up and he sticks his butt out and he goes, give me the ball. Yeah, and that never changes.
He did run a little more and do a better job last year in Charlotte than he had in previous years. Nobody noticed because nobody watched Charlotte play much, but barely around on national television, what have you. But it's still a long way to go, and he's trying to figure out at age, I want to say, 33 now, how he can, stick in the league for a long time, and it's going to mean evolving his game in a way it's just not there right now. But, we'll see. He's still a really good athlete. He can still bring rim protection and rebounding and do some other things. It's just he's got to accept playing to his strengths and not demanding the touches, not demanding the shots. He's just not that guy anymore. Where he's at now, he's got to play a role.
If he were to accept a role where he played the same role as, say, Clint Capella, block shots, rebound like hell, and flush dunks, is he back basically to being an all-star?
All-star is going to be tough to make, but that might set the bar a little high, even in the East, where in the West, it's brutal. I can't, the all-star voting is going to leave some really good players out. But even in the East, I'm not sure that he gets there, but I think he can be poor man's DeAndre Jordan. I mean, if he really wanted to accept that role and just run the ball, run some picks, rebound and do that, it's like, but I've always thought that he had that in him. It's just a question, but like we were saying with Carmelo and others, it's like knowing that they can do it and accepting the role are two different things. And maybe he's getting there, but he always says that, and then what we see isn't the same thing.
Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, with us on the hotline. Kurt, I've long been a fan of Bruce Bowen on TV, and he was the analyst for the Clippers, and he got asked about Kawhi Leonard. I guess This is, what, June, July? He gets asked about Kawhi Leonard. And he was critical of Kawhi Leonard and the way that he handled things and said that he thinks he's getting bad advice. And, you know, if you're the leader of the team, your job is to get out there and lead, not look at your teammates in the eye and go, screw you guys, I'm not playing. And I understand that, you know, Bruce played for the Spurs, yeah, what, 9 years, and he won 3 titles. And, you know, it's probably a little personal for him because of his connection to the team. Well, Kawhi gets traded to Toronto, and the Clippers decide that they are not going to renew his contract. Are we a little too early to be positioning ourselves for whether or not we might have a chance to sign Kawhi Leonard? And are they being a little, I guess, over bitchy about the fact that, oh, well, he was critical about him. If we don't get rid of him now, he'll never sign here.
Look, first off, I don't think what he said was really all that bad or, frankly, incorrect. And like you pointed out, Bruce is old school Spurs. You know, he's the Tim Duncan Spurs kind of method. And so he's going to defend that organization. And I get that. How can I put this without? That said, if I'm the Clippers, there's reason to believe there's a shot. We'll just leave it there. There's reason to believe there's a shot. And with the people around Kawhi, look, they just were complaining about the Spurs not being a player-friendly organization, when that is arguably the most player-friendly organization in the league. I think that the Clippers are going to be really careful to make sure that all their I's are dotted and T's are crossed, so that they at least, you know, he probably ends up a Laker, but it's not out of the question. I'm not going to get into the details, but it's certainly not out of the question that he's a Clipper, and they want to make sure that they've got that chance. And I'll add, the Clippers were quick to say, like, privately, like, they weren't sure about Bowen. Like, they had questions about Bowen before this, that they weren't necessarily going to bring him back anyway. I don't know how much of that is spin versus truth, because I'm with you. I kind of like the way it works for him. I like him on television, but that's what they were saying.
Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, with us on the hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, at Basketball Talk. They're telling me it's that time again, my friend, where I have to do that whole break thing instead of just letting us talk for like a half an hour and just talk about hoops and stuff. But always appreciate you coming on. We don't get to talk often enough, brother.
Now, when we get back into the season, I'm happy to. I realize what time of year it is, man. You haven't spent enough time talking about Urban Meyer today, I imagine. So, you know.
No, I have not spent enough time talking about Urban Meyer today. Actually, we'll talk about him more later, and I'll shoot myself in the face as we continue to talk more about non-football football. Maybe I'll throw in some anthem talk while I'm at it.
Oh, yeah. I was just on vacation in Canada. I go out with my wife to have a drink, and every bar had, like, Manziel 24/7 watch on the TV. It was crazy. It was like... Like, really? Is this a story? All right, so.
Sorry, eh?
Exactly. Yeah, that worked out really well for him anyways. Yeah.
Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, on the hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Basketball Talk. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
Kurt Heelan, with us on the hotline.